39 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Roseburg Police Department putting out word of a 32-hour work week this week, and we want to talk more about that with Police Chief Gary Kloffenstein. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, where did this idea of making kind of a shift in how you do some things come from?
We first heard about it from Golden, Colorado. It's a town that has implemented it in their police force. And at first it seemed kind of a far-fetched idea, and then the more we thought about it and the more we thought about how it might be incorporated in our department and if we could use it, it started gaining traction, and we started finding it a more viable option.
So did you kind of talk to the folks at Golden at some point?
We did. My operations commander talked to their operations commander and kind of tried to learn from what's working for them and what's not working for them and what they like and what they don't like. And so it was a very learning experience.
So when you talk about a 32-hour work week, Roseburg Police Department has people doing a lot of different things at a lot of different levels. What employees does this apply to?
So it's important to let the public know that our office is still open 8 to 5. Everything's going to function exactly the same way. No services are going down. That's one of the things we pride ourselves is the high level of service that we provide to the community, and that's not going to go down. We're going to be 24/7. Our office is open 8 to 5, and so this will apply to our patrol division. So along with our patrol division, we have detectives, we have narcotics detectives, we have the school resource officer, homeless liaison officer, our traffic unit. All those are going to continue to work 40 hours a week, but the 21 officers assigned to our patrol division will be working the 32-hour work week.
Now, you mentioned the department in Colorado. Have you heard of anyone in Oregon doing this?
To my knowledge, I haven't heard of anyone else in the nation doing it yet, except for that agency.
And this kind of ties back, I guess, to recruitment challenges, right?
Correct. We have been heavily understaffed for the last 5 years. And last year we hired 7, and then we had 10 separations. That was from retirements. We had a couple of retirements. We had a couple officers that didn't make probation. They weren't able to do the job. And we had a couple that just moved laterally and some that went into a different industry as well. And so it's so difficult to hire right now.
And is that a nationwide thing?
It is everywhere. It's pretty rare to find a department that's fully staffed right now. I imagine they are, and wow, they must feel blessed. When we get together and speak at chiefs conferences and sheriff's conferences, it's pretty routine conversation that we're talking about recruitment, how understaffed people are, how understaffed we are. It's nationwide. It's definitely, we're feeling it here.
So how many officers are you down right now?
We're down 7, but I just hired one that will start. And I've hired 2 so far this year, one last month, and I've hired one that will start in August. But he obviously hasn't started yet. So when he starts, I'll be down 6.
So how do you handle being down that many folks?
It's a challenge because the ancillary temporary duty assignments, like detectives, and like traffic units, those, and the homeless liaison position, those all take some of that workload off of patrol. And so what we've done is we have 2 narcotics positions. We haven't filled them. We have 4 detective positions. We have only one of those is being filled right now. We just have all those temporary duty assignments have been taken away, essentially, and put on pause to make sure that we continue to fill the patrol division, because that's our bread and butter, right? When someone calls 911, that's the important part, is that we're showing up and we're still giving them the service that they deserve and expect.
What kind of stress is that to feel like you're kind of juggling a lot of moving parts in the air, just trying to make sure everything is going to work and given the nature of what you do, you never know exactly what is going to hit you in a given day.
It's it can be very stressful, and then you can come in, and that's not including people that go out on family leave, injuries on the job, and then general vacation. It's really important that our officers get their vacation and get their time off so they can have that work-life balance, and we pride ourselves in making sure that happens. And that can be, a couple of people take a vacation day off, and everybody else has to kind of step up and work a little harder. And so it's a team effort. We have a great group of folks right now, a really, really good core, and we're just trying to build on that.
Now, does this shortage of folks, does that also sometimes lead to higher overtime costs?
Maybe a little bit, but not a lot. Our patrol teams are full, so we have our patrol teams full. But the cost of that is we're not able to have any of those temporary duty assignments, right? So I wouldn't say right now we're getting more overtime costs. We're kind of past that. We were for a minute, but we're past that. When we were down, 10, 11 officers, that's where we were starting to have to get some heavier overtime costs.
So talk about the financial implications of this, because I've had several people ask me what that means. Does that mean the officers are making less money, or does that mean they're working 40 hours or working 32 hours but getting paid for 40, or how does that all work?
So they're getting paid for 40. They're going to work 32. But prior to July 1st, when we implemented this, we were on a 10-hour rotation. So four 10-hour shifts was their work week. And so in 24 hours, that's 30 hours in 24 hours. So there was overlap. So day shift would overlap by two hours into swing shift, and swing shift and graveyard would have an overlap period. With the 8 hours, we just now have, there's just no built-in overlap. So they just kind of butt up against. So officers will work their 8 hours. They still have to do their job. And if something's not completed, they'll work past as if they have to. We have a real great group of officers that come in early and leave late anyway, so they were working 11 hours anyway. And so now they'll be working 8, but if they have to work 10 to complete their job that day, then they will. At the end of their work week, if they have over 40 hours, then they'll get overtime. So if they work 2 hours every on 2, 4, 6, 8 hours, they stay for 10 hours every day to complete their job. And then they have, let's say, we have a mandatory training, and they don't get to the, if it's only 2 hours, then they would beat their 40 hours and wouldn't have overtime. But if they get over that 40 hours, then they'll get overtime. So, yes, I imagine there'll be some cost savings, but that's not why we did this. We did not do it for that reason.
And what's been the response as you talked about doing this?
Internally, it's been pretty exciting. It's new. We've only been doing it a week, but it's pretty exciting. It's pretty innovative, and we're excited to try it. Our folks are excited. We have buy-in from the officers for certain are excited about it. And as I talk to other administrations in law enforcement, they're kind of saying, well, maybe this is the way. Maybe this is the way of the future. And so we're gonna find out.
Any pushback on it so far?
No, it's only been a week, and I don't think it was necessarily too well known. That's why we were trying to kind of get it out and let people know about it, because we work for the people, we work for the city, and so I haven't had pushback yet. I welcome to talk about it with anybody who is against it. I think it's gonna be successful.
As you were talking through the idea, does this tie into labor negotiations as well, or is this a separate thing?
This was something that we had to have cooperation with our labor union, and they were all on board to give it a try. So, our city council was aware of it. Our city administration, we all made sure we were comfortable with what we put together and what we're trying. And like I said, we're all excited to see if this is it. It might not be, but I'm optimistic.
And when you first heard about the idea, what was your initial thought?
I think I probably have the same thought that everybody else does. Well, you get work for 32 hours and you only get paid for 8. That or uh, you You work 32 hours and get paid for 40. You're, you know, where's the other 8 hours going, and how is that responsible? But as we started looking at it and we started putting in the time that our officers are staying late and the time that they're going to have to anyway, it's not a true 8 hours, not even close. It's less than half probably of that. And we're at a point where just a few more people, a few more separations or not filling a few more positions, and our level of service starts decreasing, and we do not want to do that. It's not fair for our community. And so we're just trying to think outside the box if we have to, but whatever it takes to try to get some recruitment.
All right, we're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. City of Roseburg Police Chief Gary Klopfenstein. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com and 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, Umpqua Valley Live on the way at 4. City of Roseburg Police Chief Gary Klopfenstein with us talking about the department deploying a 32-hour work week. One of the things about the idea of police recruitment, it looks like you've been trying to address through the level of different equipment and things that people are able to use. Talk about that and how that can also attract possibly officers to the department that might not normally be looking for, you know, a small rural town like this.
Well, and you said it, we're small, we're rural, and sometimes people give us that reputation that we're going to be, we're not going to have some of the technology that we have. And so we have, you know, the top of the line body cameras. We have vehicle license plate readers that in our vehicles that will read license plates, check for stolen vehicles, stolen plates, amber alerts, terrorist alerts, check all kinds of things from the license plate information. We have stationary license plate readers in some of the ingress egress points in the city that will also help. So when a stolen vehicle comes through, or a vehicle that's perhaps in an officer's investigation passes, we can be alerted for that. And we've just invested in some virtual reality headsets from, it's a whole program from Axon, and we're really, really excited to see how that takes our training to the next level. And so we'll be able to give some on the job training fairly easily and frequently to our officers via that, and that's going to be really, really cool technology moving forward.
It seems like there's a lot of, like any other industry, there's been a lot of quick movement in technology to protect officers, to be able to kind of assure accuracy or be able to, you know, go back and look at a situation like the cameras.
Cameras have been a game changer. I was on that initial trial when we were trying it, and there was a feeling from the troops that were kind of, oh, it's Big Brother. Are we going to be watched? Are we going to be critiqued for our actions and just nitpicked? And that's not the case. We don't have, as supervisors, we don't have the time to go watch minute for minute what all of our team officers have been doing. And it's the point now where officers will come to us and, hey, my body camera's not working, and they don't feel like they can go on patrol if they don't have a body camera. I mean, they feel like it's that crucial a piece of equipment. And then for evidence, it's amazing. We can sit in court and talk about furtive movement, and they looked suspicious or nervous, and what does that really mean? But when you see that and you see it on video, you can't deny it. It's undeniably sometimes suspicious, and so that's been so helpful.
What else do you do to promote employees in terms of, I mean, you've got to, as a police officer, especially on patrol, you've got to be in good physical shape. How do you promote employees being able to stay in good physical shape?
We're fairly youthful now. We've hired so many that we're a fairly youthful department. We're in pretty good shape, but fitness is definitely a priority for us. We have a really robust fitness center at the Public Safety Center that the entire city is able to use. It's got treadmills, ellipticals, stair-stepper, stationary bikes, free weights. It's a really nice facility. It's everything you could want to work out, and so it's taken advantage of by a lot of our people. And then our city as a whole is part of Thrive Umpqua, or we work with Thrive Umpqua, and so there's a whole wellness aspect to that, and we do our best to stay fit. Fitness is really important in our line of work, both physically and just to alleviate stress and your mental well-being as well.
Well, and I would think, yeah, when you think about what you might encounter in a given day, whether it's, you know, serious life-threatening situations or very strong attitudes maybe from some people that you might come in contact with, by the end of the day, mentally, you're a little shot.
Yeah, it can be that, and it can also be tragedy. Family members having to notify family members of someone passing or that someone's injured, those can weigh heavy too. And so both of those, yes, it's the job is extremely rewarding, and it can also be really heavy too.
Now, do you feel like changes in drug laws that will take effect this fall, do you think that's going to help you in recruitment?
I hope. I don't think we're going to feel the effect of those. In my opinion, they didn't go far enough in the fix for Measure 110. I don't think we're going to feel the true effect of that. Probably that's in September. It starts in September. I don't think we're going to start feel the actual effect out in the streets probably for 6 months to a year, as those people, because they have to be arrested, they have to go through the court system, get on probation ostensibly, and then once they're on probation, those people will have boundaries. They'll have to go stay maybe at the mission instead of in our parks, because that might not be legal, right? So they are going to have to go give UAs, and so we're going to start feeling that effect. I don't think it's as early as I would hope, and I think as people hope as well.
Was that one factor in having trouble with recruiting the last few years?
One employee specifically said on the way out that they signed up because they wanted to have an impact on people using drugs, and it's now legal. And that was kind of the parting comment. So I think it will. I think it will. There's a feeling of, I don't want to say hopelessness, but just that you can't affect change in our, you know, when it was legal. I shouldn't say legal. I guess it's not technically legal, but when it was, for all intents and purposes, legal, there's just a feeling that you can't affect change, and you can't. There's really not much you can do about user amounts, and that's the street level stuff that we're dealing with.
What is as you look, you know, through the rest of the year, what are some of the other challenges you feel like are going on right now?
There's definitely that. There's the for us. It's, I don't even look past really recruitment. It's recruitment and retention is my priority. So that's definitely the challenge for us, is trying to fill our ranks. I need to get people in. We need to get those ancillary temporary duty assignments back. I'm getting calls from people in the community. Hey, this street's where people are speeding on this street, or they're doing this over here. And our officers are handling calls for service. I just can't get someone to sit over there and run radar or do some of those other things that we could do. So I need to get my ranks filled a little bit. That's my priority.
Are the state, are you seeing less people apply to be police officers?
Oh, for certain, back from when, I'm going to date myself, but 25 years ago, there was thousands sometimes, and entire gyms were full. I went to Yamhill County for an application process, and the entire basketball bleachers were completely filled. It was amazing. We're not seeing that. We're seeing more like 10 to 15. For us, internally, when we get to 10, 15 applicants, we're running a process. So we're running a process, a hiring process, almost monthly. We've got two so far this year. And last year, we were able to hire seven from that. And the year prior was six, and so we're hiring, but then the level of applicant is different too. It used to be the applicants we were seeing they've gone to the Reserve Academy, they got a degree in law enforcement, they've done you name it to try to be, they worked in loss prevention, they've done something to try to get themselves, this is what they wanted to do. Now our applicants, we're seeing, if you're that applicant now, you can choose where you want to go, anywhere, everybody's hiring. Now we're seeing applicants who are hey, I that looks like an interesting job. I think I'm gonna apply. And then we're looking at them. Do they have the right characteristics? Are they ethical? And do we think we can teach them?
All right, City of Roseburg Police Chief Gary Kloffenstein, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.